Lutheran Radio UK presents Love Letters, a study on the Apostle Paul's Epistle to the Romans with Pastor Arno Bessel.
My name is Arno Bessel. I'm pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth. It is a pleasure to have you listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Welcome to Love Letters. In our last study, we focused on the theme Life in the Spirit, Children of God and Heirs with Christ. We have seen that God has given us life in the Spirit. He declared us not guilty and has enabled us to produce good fruits. We have also seen that God has adopted us by grace as His children and made us fellow heirs with Christ of all the riches He has in store. Today we would like to concentrate on the theme Hope in a Glorious Future. Oh, that sounds promising, doesn't it? Let us get on board with the Apostle Paul listening to the words he has written in his letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 18 to 25.
For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience.
Needless to say, pain and suffering can be seen everywhere our sight reaches. Human beings are trapped in accidents, illness, violence, loss, grief, poverty, hunger, and the like, all of which bring about suffering. Not only human beings, but the whole creation groans in pain too. Plants suffer the effects of extreme cold, heat, lack of rain, poisoning and pollution inflicted on them by man. Storms, floods and fire cause devastation of proportions beyond measure. Likewise, animals are subject to suffering, death and extinction because of illness, hunger, plagues, or human intervention.
Why do these things happen? What causes human beings and the whole creation to groan in pain?
Several secondary causes could be pointed out. However, the primary cause of suffering is sin. Sin committed in the very beginning by Adam and Eve and passed on to all their descendants. The disobedience of Adam and Eve to God's command brought about painful consequences to them, to all their descendants, and to the whole creation. Humans and all creation are trapped in the endless cycle of deterioration leading to death. Very sad indeed.
Is this the final destiny of everything? Is there any chance of a way out?
There is. Yes, there is. The Apostle Paul compares the present pain endured by humans and nature with the pains of childbirth. Pains of childbirth may get very, very intense. However, they last only for a certain period of time. After that period follows a condition of release and relief. Having that in mind, the Apostle states that the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. The creation, including plants and animals, are intensely expecting for the moment of being released from suffering.
When is this going to happen?
It will happen the day when Jesus will return to earth to judge the living and the dead. Then believers will be given the full status of children of God, and they will take possession of the inheritance of heaven. On the same occasion, the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. On the last day when Jesus will return to earth, a new heaven and a new earth, free of decay and pain, will be inaugurated.
Along with the whole creation.
Yes, we also wait with eager longing. We are hoping in a glorious future, a future filled with great happiness, a future of the enjoyment of the fullness of children of God. We are looking forward to the day when our bodies will be released from the consequences of sin and will be shaped in the likeness of Jesus. This lies in the future. We haven't seen it yet. We haven't touched or experienced it yet. The glorious future rests for us in hope. And hope is precisely that which we do not see. By hope, we don't mean simply a wish wrapped in uncertainty. No. Hope is the certainty that God has prepared something special for us, which one day will be revealed and given to us. Hope is based on God's promises, which always come true. Therefore, a glorious future awaits us indeed.
What is this glorious future we are hoping for going to be like?
We don't know the details because the future stands in hope. However, the Apostle Paul gives the following description. He says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. What the Apostle is saying is that life in heaven is nothing like life on earth. Our present reality cannot be compared or equaled with what God has prepared for us in eternity. The Apostle John was given a vision in which he got a glimpse of what the glorious future will be like. In the book of Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4, John says, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. We hope in a glorious future. While we are eagerly waiting, we need patience, support, and help. Did you know that support and help are available? The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 30.
Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many of brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified.
Hope has been mentioned earlier several times. It seems that hope is vital because it keeps us going.
Absolutely. Hope keeps us going, particularly in times of suffering. However, our hope frequently wavers, and we find it hard to pray to God for support and help. We wish certain things for us, but the opposite happens to be our share. We pray for health, but illness settles in. We pray for peace, but conflict persists. We pray for prosperity, but suddenly we suffer a huge loss. We may even question God why things we reckon evil befalls us, and why he allows us to suffer. In reality, we do not know what to pray for as we ought. And in our weakness, we even might give in praying. We might be very reluctant to agree that for those who love God, all things work together for good. We just can't see any divine purpose in our tragedies. However, in the midst of our reluctance, doubt, inability, and weakness, a helper steps in.
Who is this helper?
The helper is the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul says that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. The Holy Spirit is an expert in intercession. First of all, he knows our thoughts, feelings, and needs. Secondly, he also knows the will of God, which always is the best and the right one for us. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. We will be back after a short break. Please stay with us.
If you like what you're listening to, then let your contacts know about Lutheran Radio UK. Use the Spread the Word function on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, and tell your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Alternatively, you can write the emails of your contacts in the Tell a Friend field at the bottom of our main page, and we'll send them a personalized invitation to listen. Help us to proclaim the good news of Christ by telling others about Lutheran Radio UK. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, and we will keep you right up to date about our programs.
Let's find out why people go to Bible studies.
They really help me to understand what the passage is all about.
To understand all that the passages mean.
Being with other people and discussing various verses.
Because it gives me a chance to get deeper into God's Word and to think out what I really believe.
Pastor, why are Bible studies important?
Bible study is so important because we go to God's Word because He speaks to us through it.
Through the study of the Bible, God provides comfort and guidance for life. Go to Lutheran.co.uk to find the Lutheran church that is closest to you and join your local Lutheran Bible study group.
Bible study, great food, great fellowship, and you even get to learn a little bit about God.
This is Lutheran Radio UK, all about Christ and to all God's people.
Welcome back to Love Letters. You're listening to Lutheran Radio UK. I'm Arno Bessel, pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth. We are reflecting on Paul's letter to the Romans. We have said that we hope in a glorious future when we will be released from decay, suffering, and death. But we are not there yet. We are on the way. And while we are on the way to a glorious future, we face trials. These trials are intended for our good.
Sometimes it is really hard to understand that trials are intended for our good.
True. Reason questions and we have trouble accepting the statement that trials are intended for good. However, God's eyes reach into the long distance and see the whole picture, whereas we may be short-sighted and perceive only the immediate surrounding. God has always a good purpose in mind in whatever happens to us. Ultimately, He wants us to attain eternal salvation prepared for us by Jesus Christ. God foreknew us before the foundation of the world. He predestined us, not to disgrace, but to salvation, to become like Jesus and to be exalted with Him. In order to fulfill this good purpose, the Holy Spirit called us to faith in Jesus Christ, covered us with Christ's righteousness, and made us children of God and heirs with Christ.
All right, that sounds very nice and we believe it. However, there come moments in life when we doubt.
Surely, there might appear circumstances in life when we get the impression that the whole world is against us, including God. Yes, but wait a minute and listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39.
What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Did the Apostle Paul have any rough experiences in life in which his own faith was put to the test?
Oh yes. The Apostle Paul speaks from own experience. And what experience? He suffered all sorts of distress which threatened to come in between him and Christ's love. The world seemed to be against him, so it can happen to us. However, no matter how strong the storms may blow against us, God never leaves us. God is for us, and he is stronger than any power of the world. God gives us a remarkable proof that he is for us.
What is the proof for that?
The proof is that he gave the best he had, his very son Jesus Christ, and gave him into death as a sacrifice of love for us. As a result, no one can charge us guilty. No one can condemn us because Christ paid the penalty for our guilt and because he was condemned in our place. Through his death and resurrection, Christ embraced us in his love and made us safe. Through Jesus, we are assured of victory in any circumstance, no matter how strong and furious enemies and adversities may be. Any doubt? Listen again to the extraordinary statements of Paul. He says, "If God is for us, who can be against us? I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." We hope in a glorious future when everything that causes us to suffer will be left behind. While we are still on earth, and eagerly hoping in a glorious future, we can count on the Holy Spirit who intercedes for us. We can rely on Jesus Christ and his victory over all evil. In Jesus, God is for us. Nothing in the whole universe can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. God's message of love is for people. So let us listen to what people have to say. Today we would like to ask some questions to Sue about the relevance of God's message in her life. Sue, some of the significant words in the letter of Paul to the Romans we reflected on today are these in chapter 8, verses 18 and 28. Paul says, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." Sue, taking into account your life experiences, do you agree that all things, including sufferings, have a divine purpose and work together for good?
I think the simple answer is yes, but being a human being and being frail with it, I think that when you're actually in pain, it's very difficult to believe. However, I do think that as time goes on and you look back at your life, you can understand how it's fitted into God's plan. And yes, so I believe that.
How important is it for you to know and believe that God has prepared for his children a future in which there will be no suffering, but only pure glory?
Well, it's very important. I think considering what the world has to offer us today, when you look around at the news and all the suffering we see throughout the world, the famines and the droughts and the wars, and then we look at our Western world and how spoilt we are and how dissatisfied and unhappy we seem to be, it is so important then to know that God has a divine purpose in life for us, and that we will see his light at the end.
Sometimes it's really hard, I can understand, to when we face difficult times, especially being in pain, and to see a divine purpose in this. But I also see that it is of a great comfort when God tells us that even though we are suffering in this world, that he is with us, and at the same time he points us in hope to a future in which everything will be much different, a future with no pain and no suffering. Do you think that having this in mind and looking forward in hope to the future is important for your daily life?
Yes, I do. I think that we know that this world's going to be a hard world to live in, and when you're in pain, then it is even harder. But there's always, I think, particularly if you're a Christian, there's always that light at the end of the tunnel, even though at times it is only a chink of light, and then at other times it glows really strongly, and you know that's God's love.
Thank you very much.
We also would like to ask some questions to Cynthia. Taking into account the words of St. Paul in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 39, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Cynthia, what do these statements mean to you?
These statements are most comforting, I think, because God is all, and if we put all our trust in him, then what have we got to worry about? Nothing. Nothing at all. And whatever comes to us, if we put our faith in him and our trust in him and put our hand in his hand, then we can't go wrong.
Have you gone through any life experience when this message became particularly helpful to you?
I've had in my lifetime many, many sadnesses, particularly in my immediate family, where I lost a brother and sister aged 27 and 38, and my son, who was just aged 21. And it's good that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And also, I know that he is taking care of our loved ones that have gone before us, and that one day we will meet again in heaven and be together with Christ.
While you were going through these life experiences, have these words of St. Paul come to your mind, or has somebody mentioned them to you?
Well, yes, actually. I had to have a kidney removed. I had a kidney tumour 3 or 4 years ago now. And while I was in hospital, my pastor visited me, and these are the exact words that he brought with me. And I was so pleased to hear them, because they're actually my favourite verse, one of my favourite verses in the Bible, that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's just, as I said before, it gives you such comfort, and especially at times such as this, when you're in hospital or you're grieving or mourning for the loss of something or somebody, then again, it's where we put our focus. We focus on God and Christ Jesus, and we can't go wrong.
Thank you very much for sharing. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. I'm Arno Bessel, pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth. To find out more about the Lutheran Church in Plymouth, go to stpeterslutherans.co.uk. Welcome to our Sunday services at 11 a.m. and our Bible studies on Wednesday at 7 p.m. To find the nearest Lutheran congregation to you, go to lutheran.co.uk locate on the website directory, and there you will see a list of the congregations. We will be back at the same time next week to continue reflecting on love letters. We hope you will join us studying the theme, God's Chosen People, Israel. Should you have any questions or comments on our studies of love letters, please write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Note also that the podcast of our studies is available for download. All you need to do is to go to lutheranradio.co.uk, find podcasts, and select Love Letters. Please stay tuned into Lutheran Radio UK and enjoy the next program. God bless and keep you.
Lutheran Radio UK, all about Christ and to all God's children.